Good morning. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Monday, April 30th, 2018. The time is 9:15 a.m. If you're joining us off-net or online, we're in Juneau, Alaska, State Capitol, 5th floor, room 532. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this morning, Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Machicki.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
On today's agenda, we have two items, SB 76, Alcohol Beverage Control and Alcohol Regulations, and HB 398, Corporate Tax, Public Utility Income Allocation. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin? Seeing and hearing none, I'd like to direct your attention to the CS for the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 76. It's an act relating to alcohol beverage, relating to regulations of manufacturing, wholesale, retail, common carriers, and alcoholic beverages, et cetera. Brief history on this item. The bill was heard on April 17th and April 27th, 2018, and we opened and closed the public hearing. The fiscal notes were covered. We adopted the new CS that's backslash C. Senator Machicki, could we have a brief recap of the bill?
Yes, Madam Chair. Essentially what Title IV does is modernizes our alcoholic beverages, alcoholic beverage title, modernizes it, reorganizes it, and changes some of the fees, changes some of the regulations, demonstrates an expectation that licensees will perform at a level that does not jeopardize the public, and in my view just essentially modernizes to what the way that the industry operates today.
Are there questions from committee members? We held this bill over from Friday to make sure there was adequate opportunity to understand and digest the CS. Senator Bishop, may I have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 76, version 30-LS0015, backslash Charlie, from committee with the accompanying fiscal notes and committee recommendations.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the CS for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 76, finance, backslash C, moves from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual committee recommendations. Brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. The next item before Senate Finance is House Bill number 398. It's an act relating to allocation and apportionment of income of a public utility for the purposes of Alaska Net Income Tax Act and providing for an effective date. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move committee substitute for House Bill 398, version 30-LS1231/Oscar. Before the committee is our working document.
I'll object for purposes of understanding what the CS does. I'd like to invite Representative and Co-Chairman of House Finance, Neil Foster, to the microphone, along with Brody Anderson, his staff. Mr. Anderson, I understand you'll walk us through the bill, but let's give the co-chairman opportunity to at least give us an overview of what the bill should do, and then we'll talk about what the CS is updating. Representative Foster.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Representative Neil Foster, House District 39, and my aide.
Brody, for the record, Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Neil Foster.
Thank you. In 2015, the indirect expenditure report had identified certain credits and exemptions that should be repealed. HB 398 is the repeal of a specific exemption for multi-state corporations operating public utilities here in Alaska. The report stated that the exemption did not closely relate to the legislative intent and could be considered a loophole allowing certain multi-state corporations to reduce their Alaska corporate tax liability. HB 398 would repeal the exemption, and it would require multi-state public utility corporations to follow the formula that is currently used by other non-oil and gas corporations. The Department of Revenue is unable to provide specific totals since the taxpayer pool is so small, but they did identify that there will be new revenue if the legislation passes. Madam Chair, if it's okay, I'd like to pass it over to my aide who could give some more details.
Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Once again, for the record, Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Neil Foster. Before the committee today is HB 398. The CS version O that is before you has two changes to it. The first one is on line 7, page 1, and it's adding the words "and a portion" to it. The next change is on line 5, page 2, which is section 4, which has section 3 of this act takes an effect immediately under AS 01100770, subsection C. And with those changes, to walk through the sectional, section 1 adds a new section under section 4320146, which removes the exemption of the multi-state public utilities from the water's edge reporting within the multi-state tax compact. Section 2 is uncodified law, which has a new section with the applicability of section 1 does not take effect until the effective date. And then with sections 3 and 4 now, then with the new section, the first one makes the regulations that will be adopted will not come into effect until January 1 of 2019. And then Section 4 allows those regulations to be changed and written immediately. And then finally, Section 5 of the new version takes Sections 1 and 2 with a January 1 effective date, making this bill effective for implementation for the Department of Revenue on January 1, 2019. Madam Chair, that's a brief walkthrough of the sectional along with the changes.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Are there questions from committee members? Senator Machicki.
Thank you. I don't want to identify potential taxpayers or utilities, but that's quite a range between on the indeterminate note between $100,000 and $5 million. Do you have just a description of what some of those factors may be between that amount?
Through the chair, Senator. without being able to get into specifics, which the Department of Revenue has been extremely careful with keeping that information confidential. Some of the things that we do know for corporations that this doesn't apply to is corporations and public utilities that are 100% Alaskan. We know that this doesn't apply, including co-ops and those things like in Fairbanks, GBA, and those type of co-op public utilities. In 2015, when the indirect expenditure report first came out, it was identified that there would be potentially three beneficiaries, maybe up to five. And so that was the most information that was provided. The reason for the indeterminate from what Department of Revenue has testified in the past, and I believe they're online today, is the fact that due to the small pool, they had to use such a large span because of the size of taxpayers when the proportion, if you were able to give a more succinct account, it could be identified who some of the biggest payers are. So they had to give a very wide berth of potential revenue.
Senator Michicki, followed by Senator Bishop.
And I assume we know that there are no interstate commerce or equal protection issues with the bill, with a out-of-state corporation being affected differently than an in-state utility?
Through the chair, Senator, we do know that there has been legal discussions between Department of Revenue and our legal department over here with the use of the Multi-State Compact Act. And this is something that when we first wrote our Multi-State Compact in the 70s, we had exempted both financial organizations and public utilities. In the mid-80s, Department of Revenue did a regulation change that removed financial organizations, but at that point there were no public utilities that were utilizing this, so it kind of fell by the wayside for getting changed. Now that there are some taxpayers utilizing it, they didn't feel comfortable doing this through a regulation change and felt like they should have statutory authority to do this.
Mr. Anderson, can you give us a brief history on, I'm sorry, Senator Bishop?
No, just keep going. I'll hold it.
I was wanting to know when was this tax credit put into effect? Does it show up in the indirect expense report that we received? And if so, is there dollar amounts scheduled there, or is that zero there? How many years has it been in effect?
Yes, Madam Chair. This was part of this was actually enacted in 1970 when we first adopted the Multi-State Compact, and like previously answered, when it was adopted in 1970, they had those two exemption: financial organizations and multi-state public utilities. And then in 85 is when the Department of Revenue changed it regulatory wise. And then never came back around, and it wasn't really addressed until the 2015 indirect expenditure report identified it as a potential recommendation for termination.
Thank you. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'll ask the question, but the tax man might have an idea, but I wanted to ask the sponsor first. What we're doing with the intent of the bill is I understand the intent of the bill. My question is, do we know what impact this is going to have, since the federal government just passed a sweeping tax overhaul? Do we know what impacts, by if this was to become law, what the impacts would be on these businesses? And for me, the punchline is this a job creator or going to be a job killer for these businesses? And I don't know if you can answer that.
Through the chair, Senator, I will attempt to start, and then if I could defer to Department of Revenue, that might be better addressed. The one thing that I can address before the committee today is that for all other multi-state corporations, non-oil and gas. They currently are following the three-factor apportionment for calculating their corporate tax liability. So the only ones, essentially what this bill does is make all multi-state corporations, non-oil and gas, equal footing. They all will be treated the same way in regards to how they calculate their tax liability for Alaska. Beyond that answer, I would defer to Department of Revenue if that's okay.
Thank you.
If I could, Brandon Spanos is off net. Mr. Spanos, could you identify yourself for the record, and could you provide additional feedback for Senator Bishop?
Yes, for the record, Brandon Spanos with the Department of Revenue Tax Division, the Deputy Director. And through the Chair, Senator Bishop, this isn't really a tax exemption. The Multi-State Tax Compact, what it did was carved out public utilities and financial institutions from the three-factor formula. So it didn't carve them out from the corporate income tax. They were corporate income taxpayers from the beginning, but they had a different way, or really there was no way identified. They could pick their own method of allocating or apportioning their income to Alaska. So for all non-oil and gas corporations, we use a three-factor formula. That's in the Multi-State Tax Compact. And the way we like to explain it is that a corporation's total income, so their income in the U.S. is described as like a pie, and Alaska's piece of that pie is the apportionment factor. So we take their property, payroll, and sales in Alaska over their property, payroll, and sales in the U.S., and we take a slice out of that pie. So for financial institutions, they're rather unique. They have different sales factor than most other institutions. And so we did draft regulations, and we took those same three factors, property, payroll, and sales, but with unique sales factor determinations. For public utilities, they still have that large pie of all their income in the U.S., but back in the 1970s and even the 80s, public utilities were, by and large, 100% Alaskan, and so there were no multi-state public utilities. There was no purpose in slicing the piece of the pie. We got the whole pie. When we did start to get some multinational public utilities, or rather multi-state public utilities, they were still apportioning their tax just like all the other non-oil and gas corporations using the property, payroll, and sales. But within the last 10 years, some corporations have started to allocate or use some other method to apportion their income to Alaska, which we see is not really favorable to Alaska, as well as not a level playing field with other similar corporations and utilities. And so our recommendation in the indirect expenditure report was to level that playing field and have all corporations file with the same three-factor formula. In our day and age, multi-state public utilities really operate like any other multi-state corporation and should use a similar three-factor formula. So it's not beginning to tax a corporation that wasn't taxed before. It's simply saying, this is the method you need to use to slice that pie rather than coming up with your own method.
Senator Bishop, follow-up?
Just a quick follow-up. So with all that being said, in your professional opinion, do you think there will be the same amount of employees or less number of employees? Will this bill affect employment with these entities?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, it's very difficult to say. It's likely that you can see the fiscal note does have a positive revenue to the state, which would negatively affect a utility that's filing under a different method. And will that affect employment? That's very difficult to say. I don't think I'm qualified to answer that question based on tax revenue alone.
Thank you. And Madam Chair, the reason I just say that is you know, we're in a recession. I just want to ask the question. We want to keep as many people as we work in. Maybe I'm chasing a ghost here, but I just was trying to find out that question. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Senator Von Imhoff, followed by Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm just curious, Mr. Spanos, why was this set up this way from the beginning? Was it purposeful, or was it an oversight that the words apportionment and appropriated are slightly different than the rest of the compact? If it was purposeful, what were the factors that led the original statute to be written the way that it was, and have those factors changed? So that's the first question. Then I have just sort of a second question. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Spanos.
Yes, through the Chair, Senator Von Imhoff. I did reach out to the Multi-State Tax Commission and asked them that very question on what the purpose was when it was when those institutions were set up separately or not mandated to follow the same three-factor apportionment formula. And their response was that that back in the when the Multi-State Tax Compact was formed, public utilities were usually highly regulated by the state themselves. The states often ran the public utilities, and in most states, public utilities were 100% state within the state. So there was no apportionment necessary. They tried to predict what public utilities would look like in the future, and assuming that they would start to cross state lines, they thought that they would probably need their own method for either allocating or apportioning the income. And they've said that that since multi-state utilities now operate very similar to all other corporations, most of the other states have simply adopted the three-factor formula to apportion and allocate their income.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Spanos, for that explanation. That was actually one of my questions, is has other states had this problem and what have they done about it? And so you've basically stated that in the last, I'm assuming in the last several years, then other states, as utilities have gone multi-state and cross boundaries, that they have gone to the three-factor formula. Can you, do you by chance know which states recently in the last, let's say, 5 years or potentially in the last decade that have done that?
Through the Chair, Senator Von Imhoff, it's probably within the last decade or more. I think that we're a little bit late to this game. And I should clarify that not all states use the three-factor formula anymore. A lot of them use just a single sales factor or a double-weighted sales factor or even a triple-weighted sales factor. They're trying to encourage manufacturing into their state, and so they have gone away from the traditional three-factor formula. But they do tax public utilities in the same method that they tax all other corporations, whether that be the three-factor formula or their own method. And I don't know the exact dates. I'd have to do some research on that one.
Thank you. Senator Machicki.
Just my question is, if it's not, doesn't sort of make it where someone can be identified, how many multi-state public utilities are operating in the state of Alaska right now?
Senator Machicki, through the chair, I had that figure and I can't seem to find it. It's more than a dozen.
More than a dozen?
Wow.
Correct.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bishop.
Mr. Spanos, in your letter, you say there are three public utilities utilizing a method other than the standard three-factor apportionment formula. So the other nine then, so would be using the other formula that you referenced on page one under section 2, article 44319.
To the chair, Senator Bishop, that's correct. The others are all, and I wish I remembered the exact number, and I will try to locate that. But the rest of the public utilities are using the standard three-factor apportionment formula, correct?
Thank you.
Senator Machicki, follow-up. Senator Olson.
Mr. Spanos, one of the questions I have was what's the effect on the end user of the utility if this bill was to go into place? Are they going to be are they going to be paying higher rates than they are now, or less?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, the tax is a net income tax. It's not a typical pass-through tax like a sales tax or an excise tax. And so the taxes on a corporation's total, we call it water's edge or U.S. income. And so it's difficult to say how that trickle-down effect would happen. It really would depend on the number of users and if the corporation decided to pass those taxes on, or really it's just a reduction in their overall profitability. Would be up to the corporation and then possibly even up to some of the regulatory regulations.
Senator Olson.
The other question I have, we've seen these utilities go multi-state, and now there are utilities that are going internationally. In fact, one of the concerns recently that was voiced to me was the Juno utility, electric utilities, was going to be owned by a corporation out of Canada. Does this have an effect on those international corporations?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, yes and no. It would have an effect if they're multi-state. So if they were purchased by a company in Canada, if that Canada also had other U.S. operations, then it would affect them. If that company did not have other U.S. operations and their only U.S. operation was in Alaska, it would have no effect. Because for non-oil and gas companies, we use what they call water's edge, and it doesn't consider any non-U.S. income. As you know, for our oil and gas companies, it's worldwide income, so we handle it a little bit differently.
No further questions, Madam Chair.
Are there other questions for the Department of Revenue? Thank you, Mr. Spanos, for being online. Are there other questions on the CS? I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection of the Senate CS for House Bill number 398, Finance, Version O? Seeing and hearing none, the O version is adopted and before the committee. Any questions for the sponsor? Representative Foster, thank you for bringing this indirect expense to our attention and proposing its elimination. With that, I'd like to open the public hearing on the Senate CS for House Bill number 398, Finance. It's an act relating to the allocation and apportionment of income of a public utility for the purpose of the Alaska Net Income Tax Act and providing for an effective date. Is there anyone here in Juneau or online or off net wishing to testify on House Bill 398? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Senator Bishop, are you ready to cover the fiscal note?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Department is Revenue, Appropriations, Taxation, and Treasury. Allocations Tax Division, OMB, Component Numbers 2476. The cost is zero. The revenue is indeterminate. Analysis currently are there are a small number of public utilities utilizing a method other than the standard three-factor apportionment formula. Because of the limited number of impacted taxpayers, including one taxpayer who could generate over 80% of potential revenue, we are unable to provide an estimate of the additional potential revenue due to confidentiality concerns. However, we estimate there may be a material amount of additional revenue collected between $100,000 and $5 million if this legislation were to pass. This legislation would not require the department to update its tax revenue management system. There would be also needed changes to forms. The only anticipated change would be draft regulations. We would be able to draft transition language with current resources.
Are there questions on the fiscal note? Seeing and hearing none, we will set this bill aside. Give it a day for your consideration. Amendments are due by tomorrow morning at noon, Tuesday, May 1st. Is there anything else to come before the committee? We do have a bill scheduled for this afternoon at 1:30. I expect that meeting to be delayed to the call of the chair, but that is SB 193, Medicaid Assistance Work Requirements. So if you could brief yourself on that bill and be prepared for that discussion this afternoon, that would be helpful. Anything else to come before the committee? That we're adjourned.